welcome back to another episode of Wicked Darkness. Please make sure to follow us so you can keep listening to our episodes. If you want to see more of us, give us a like on Facebook and Instagram, as well as our YouTube channel, SoupHit2009. I'm Kathy, and I'll be your host, and with me, our fellow SoupHit members, Rich and Brian.
Howdy.
Good evening.
How's everybody doing?
Surviving. Yes. It's spooky season. This is our time to shine.
That's right.
We just put up some decorations today. So,
did you?
Yep.
Yeah, we did it 2 weeks ago. And wouldn't you know it, the day that I decided to put them all up, we had that big storm.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. So I'm out in the back, and because I put up like a G-rated Halloween decoration for my neighbors for their grandkids, and so it's a bunch of inflatables basically, and the front of my house is the scary cemetery. So he sees me out in the back and he's like, you know it's gonna rain, right? And all of a sudden starts raining. He goes, you better, you know, plug those things in before you get electrocuted. That's like, I'm really trying hard.
Yeah.
As soon as I plug the last one in, it just downpours.
Yeah.
So, and then I had one branch from my tree that's been hanging for about a month. Decided it was going to fall down, not during those big storm winds that we had. You know, we had like the 60-mile-an-hour winds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, an hour later, falls right on my cemetery.
Ugh.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. All it did, though, was take out one string of lights and part of my homemade fence that we made. Kind of broke it. And according to Scott, it's more spookier this way. But I was very, very lucky because this is not just a branch like you normally could pick up. Oh, no, it took four of us to pick this branch up.
Oh, wow.
It was huge.
You got some firewood then.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a miniature tree that fell down. And I was like, I'm happy it fell down now and not when my trick-or-treaters come through because they walk through my cemetery to get their treats.
Oh, cool.
So... since we're talking about this, we're talking about the history of Halloween. So Halloween, you think it's more American thing, but it's really, really not. It started with the Celtics.
Somebody got a parrot?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I don't care. I mean, that's awesome.
And he's been quiet. Sure, he's just starting. So I will mute until it's my time.
You're good.
No, it's fine. It's yeah, better than fine. My dogs arguing.
I just want to make sure I knew what I was hearing.
No, you were hearing right.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, we're good.
Wait, does it talk? Does it say any words?
It says hi, hello. The phone rings. He says hello.
Oh, cool.
He says goodbye.
Could he investigate if we took him on an investigation?
No, I don't think so.
Can we teach him
probably
some words?
Just squawk and that's it. He doesn't swear or anything, so.
Oh, we could change that real quick.
Uh-huh.
Bring him on the investigation. That'll change real quick.
Did you hear mine, Rich, from Ashmore at all?
No, I have not because I've been working. Every time we have a meeting, yeah. I get stuck working.
I gave it to Kath. I couldn't believe it. I gave it to Kath.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it in one of our episodes. And they dropped the F-bomb on him.
There's a lot of things I need to hear that people had. I need to hear the piano playing. I need to get that in my head as to what it sounded like because I know what I heard on the recorders I had.
So right.
I sent you the things I found. Mm-hmm. So I want to see if any of that other stuff kind of.
We actually makes sense. We got a little kid too.
I heard that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I'd love to hear because I don't think I had any little kids on mine, but.
Yeah. It was more of the little kid says, I was telling a story. I must have been the book that I bought there.
I
must have been reading it about the kids. And all of a sudden you hear a little kid saying, he sees us. Or he can see us or something like that.
That's cool. Like,
oh, us? That's awesome.
Maybe that's the creepier part. He sees us. So there's more than one.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll find out when we go back. I'm so excited to go back.
Looking forward to that. Right. Anyway, on to this history.
Yes,
of Halloween.
Yes, everybody wants to hear about Halloween. Halloween is upon us. The Halloween season. Everybody's watching all their spooky shows and movies and stuff
Hocus
like that.
Hocus Pocus too.
Did you guys see it?
Yes, I
no,
did.
No, I didn't see one.
I thought it was great.
I saw it Tuesday night, and or not Tuesday. I'm sorry, Saturday night. And I wasn't expecting it to be the way it was. It was a pleasant surprise in some aspects. Mm-hmm. I wish they would have tapped into some other things a little bit more, but I don't want to ruin it for other people.
No. I think they went the right direction with it. I thought it was good.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was off of books. Mm. There's two books that it's written, Hocus Pocus, and then like the sequel. We ended up getting the Audible book. Yeah. So cool. I highly suggest anybody that wants to know a little bit more about Hocus Pocus, the movie, read the book or listen to the book, because it's completely different in certain areas. Sure. It's great. Sure. So
the Harry Potter ones are that way too.
Yeah, yeah. This one kind of flip-flops, though. It goes back and forth, you know, like they start off in like the 1600s and then they go back to like the, you know, present day or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in the book, it flip-flops a lot back and forth between 1600s and present day. And they do a little bit more story on Emily. That's all I'm going to tell you guys. You guys are going to have to listen or read it yourself. But it was good. It was good.
Yep. I love this time of year because you get to see all the movies come out and
candy. Well, you know, and the funny thing is, it didn't start that way.
No.
It like I was saying before, it actually started from the Celtics. The Celtics, Ireland, Scotland, stuff like that. And it was known as Samhain. Which is, it's a festival that they have and tradition that they have. Halloween is like one of the oldest traditions in the world. It's the relationship between the living and the dead. It's like the thin veil where, you know, at Halloween or All Hallows Eve is the thinnest, as they believe.
Yep.
And, you know, they see that as like the beginning of winter, end of summer. Mm-hmm. So it's the beginning of their harvest, you know, or ending of their harvest and getting everything prepared for the winter and everything.
Sure.
So it's kind of interesting to read about it, not knowing that the Christian faith intervened on Samhain. Mm-hmm. So do you guys know a little bit about that? Brian, did you hear about a little bit?
Yeah, I did hear a little bit about it.
So I'll give you a little backstory here. So Christian groups throughout the years have, you know, tried to routinely attempt to Christianize Samhain. And they also tried to make it into something evil. And that's where they would get Samhain as the Celtic god of the dead. And Halloween was his feast. That's what they thought. At least that's what, in the 18th century, a British engineer, Charles, I'm going to slaughter his last name and I apologize, it's Vallancy, who wrote on Samhain Festival, but he didn't understand it very well. So he misinterpreted a lot of it.
Hmm.
And then because of language barriers and stuff like that. And so the church, though, preserved Samhain and its traditions in the West by Christianizing it in the 9th century. They took it. It was a pagan holiday.
Pagans, yeah. That's where I kind of knew that, along with Christmas is kind of usually a pagan. Mm-hmm.
Right. Roots. So it's a North European religion that they had twisted into their box, I guess you could say, of being a Christian holiday. But Christmas and Halloween are both based off of pagan beliefs and festivals. So, and then did you know that Halloween is now like right behind Christmas as far as commercialized, like sales and stuff like that? And I'll give you a little fun fact, actually. Halloween is around 65% of Americans planned to celebrate Halloween in 2021, and that was up 50 from the 58% in 2020. Well, so Halloween, it keeps just going up and up and up. So, you know.
Yeah, but that had probably had to do with the pandemic.
Could
a lot
been.
Of people probably didn't do a lot of stuff. They were everybody was told not could to do been. Things, so you didn't you probably didn't have as many get-togethers or people going out to trick or treating and everything.
But even when we were, I mean, look at like the Spirit of Halloween stores. They are all over the country.
They are
everywhere now.
Well, Spirit Halloween, just
there used to be more than one. But there used to be have Halloween Express. You used to have all those things. Now you see a Spirit Halloween,
right?
You know. Which, and whatever. But
I don't know if Halloween Express is still around.
I don't think so.
Probably not. I haven't seen
went online. I know Spirit Halloween is online.
Halloween Express, that was the big blow-up pumpkin, right?
Yep.
In the parking lots, usually, huge, stuff like that.
Yep. At least around here. I don't know. Maybe it was different in other parts of the country, but around here, yeah, it was the giant pumpkin that was blown up.
Right.
That's right. And it was about 120 in the parking lot in that thing. Yes. Right.
Yes. Yeah, it was. So... I mean, it's gotten bigger through the years. It's become more of a tradition in the Western areas, like United States and Canada. And it's Samhain itself is a New Year's Eve for the Celtics. So, which means summer end. And that's when they're closing the season for all the stuff and with the corn and all that and getting all their stuff together. And but the Celtics believe they were the ones that came up with the whole, the veil between the worlds of the living and the dead had thinned out. And they were aware of that. And they pretty much just absorbed all that and said, okay, we welcome the dead to come back and visit with us. And the observation of Samhain itself includes stocking up on their supplies for the winter, slaughtering the cattle that they needed to slaughter to provide the food, and then disposing of the bones. Did you know that it was called bone fire? And that now we call it bonfires?
Did not know that.
Yeah. Originally they call it bone fires. They would burn the bones because they used everything on the animals.
Right.
So whatever they didn't use, obviously they used some of the bones too for bowls and utensils or whatever that they needed. But the ones that they didn't, they would discard. And so instead of just throwing them away, they would burn them. And now we call them bonfires.
Okay.
Yeah. Little history there. Okay. So what did you guys find out about Halloween? Did you guys... Is there any weird facts or anything that you found out about it? Because there was a lot that I didn't know about with Halloween. And I say that every episode, and I feel like people must think I'm not.
Well, it was called originally was one of called All Hallows Eve, stuff like that. And then there's All Saints Day, which was November 2nd was All Saints Day. Or All Souls Day, rather. And that was a day to honor the dead. It was an attempt by Christianity to replace the Celtic festival as a church sanctioned holiday. So,
right.
You know, you had people, you know, like you said, all as in the Halloween or the Samhain, All Saints Day was celebrated with bonfires, parades, and everybody dressing up. And it started out as the saints, angels, and devils. That's where a lot of that stuff started. And eventually All Hallows Eve came out of that. And then eventually Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it didn't really get to the U.S. until like the 1900s, really. I mean,
right.
You know, so it's relatively a young holiday for what we're thinking of for celebrating, you know, if you think back, I mean, 1900s, it's not that, you know,
it's not over that
100 years ago or whatever, you know, 100, 20 years ago.
Right. So, yeah. And, you know, this Samhain goes back like 2,000 years.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So for something like that, and for it only to be like the 1900s, for it to be popular here, is kind of unexpected. I think, I think everybody, if you would ask most people when they think that traditions or holidays started, I bet you they'd say, they wouldn't say 1900s. I bet they'd go older than that, because same thing, like you're talking, you know, they're thinking the paganism and stuff like that probably.
Right. So. You know, and when they would go and they would expect like the dead to come, because, you know, the veil was so thin,
mm-hmm.
you know, they would, they'd set out like favorite foods for the dead, and they'd organize, like you said, like big parties, festivals, dances and stuff like that. But that's also where they came up with the elves and the fairies, which is very popular in Europe. It's not so popular here. I mean, we know about it, but not as much as they do, you know, over in Europe, where they talk about the spirits and the fairies and the wee talk and dark energies. I think because our country is so young still, and all of our traditions are still so new, that we're still trying to catch up to what they do over there versus what we do here. We're like trying to play catch up for the last, you know, we're only a little over, you know, 200 years old, just under 300 years old, but, you know, they go back thousands of years. So they have a long history of the paranormal and their belief system in the paranormal, which ties into Halloween. But All Hallows Eve, or all, you know, as they call it, and we now call it Halloween itself, is, you know, it's one of those things that started in Ireland in the 5th century. And then they talk about where it actually started in Ireland. I don't know. Did you guys know that it started in Ireland?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where it started, Ryan?
Let me look.
You're looking. We're trying here, people.
Yeah.
This is a learn-as-you-go thing, but that's
it okay. Is.
Well, this is such a huge topic.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could go all sorts of different directions.
Yes.
So.
But the funny thing was it started on October 31st. Like, it's always been October 31st for them. But it originated in Ireland. But the big thing that how Halloween came around in Ireland was that time period of the 5th century. And then it began with the Samhain festivals, when it was answered, where there was a prominent, what am I trying to think of? Like the site itself was a Neolithic site. And it was, how they did it was like bonfires.
Mm.
And they would have these huge bonfires that they would just light off. And it would be from one hilltop to the next hilltop. Yeah. And they still do that today. In some of these countries, they still have these huge bonfires. But.
I got it. I found it.
You found it?
It says here, and most notably in County Meath, M-E-A-T-H, at the Hill of the Ward, which is where sowing originated. It is said that this is where the Druids felt that our world was closest to the other world. With thousands of years of history, celebrating Halloween in Ireland is definitely an event to remember. Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
Part. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I think it's Meath, M-E-A-T-H.
Yeah. And there's a hill that they refer to on the site. It's called the Hill of Tara, depending on how you want to say it. And that is also known as the Stone of Destiny, which is on there. And That it goes all the way back to like different time periods where they talk about like the 7th century, the 8th century, and how different things had changed between the popes of that time period. They moved it at some point. It was around the mid of May, and then another pope, he changed it to be like for the All Saints Day, which is November 1st. They changed that then, but originally it was supposed to be like mid-May, like May 13th or something like that. And then it was supposed to turn, so the scholars themselves wanted to keep it going, so they kept Samhain by turning it into an All Hallows Eve, which is most likely true to the move to move the follow fo to move those that follow All Saints Day, which was established by the Christians, and then they renamed pretty much all the pagan holidays at that point to make it better for them. And I don't mean to bash religion at all. This is just our history, unfortunately. This is what had happened, that through the years, all the different types of religions have gone here and there. Some have stayed, some have gone, some have, changed in certain directions. But it was interesting to see some of these things. So, in England also does a bonfire, but theirs is for Guy Fawkes Day. And do you guys know about Guy Fawkes? I'm probably slaughtering his name too. So Guy Fawkes,
17th century.
17th century. He went to, it was like this big, huge thing where it was the gunpowder, and he went to blow up the king at the time and parliament at the time. And so it's known as the gunpowder plot, and the attempt failed. And one of the group, Guy Fawkes, was caught with the explosives beneath the House of Lords. And also he was co-conspirator. His name was attached to the famous plot. So then it was known as Guy Fawkes Day on November 5th, that became associated with the anti-Catholic I can't even say it now. Anti-Catholic sermons, there we go, and vandalism of the Catholic homes and businesses, even though officially the government claims it was a celebration of Providence shared sparing the king. And on Guy Fawkes Night, bonfires were lit, and unpopular figures, they're mostly of often the Pope, were hanging in the effigy of people that would drink, and they would feast, and then they would light off fireworks, and then the children and the poor would go house to house often wearing masks. So this is where our Halloween kind of comes into play, where these are going around, they're wearing a mask, they're pushing the effigy of Guy Fawkes into a wheelbarrow and begging for money or treats while threatening vandalism if they were refused.
Sounds like trick or treat to me.
Right.
Yes.
Or a very barbaric beginning of it.
Yes. And so then it came to North America, and same thing happens. So when the British came to North America, they brought these traditions with, and they decided that they were, obviously they start in New England and all that stuff, and they take up some of these holidays, and Halloween was one of them. But they were still doing the ritual of Samhain around Revolutionary War time. They were going doing the Guy Fawkes thing or whatever. But the rituals of Samhain arrived in the United States less than a century later, around 1845, 1849, and that was during the potato famine in Ireland. And so then the Irish, largely Catholic, continue to observe All Hallows Eve, and All Saints Day, or also All Souls Day, along with practicing of the Soling. And that was the festival by now was like infused with folk tradition, and the jack-o'-lantern was actually introduced at that time, but not the jack-o'-lantern that we think of today.
Right.
So, I mean, it's starting, they start to bring it in, but what they used were turnips and stuff. Yeah. Which I thought was kind of interesting.
They look like a shrunken head.
Yes.
That's what I, when I see them, I think they look like a shrunken head from like Beetlejuice.
Yes. Put a little string on them hanging by the door.
Exactly. That's what it looks like to me. But yeah, that's got to be where the carving, the jack-o'-lantern and the pumpkin thing started, just by looking at pictures of them. You can see that, you can see the resemblance that, you know, kind of where that came from. So
then there was the jack-o'-lantern is also known as with the Irish folk tale of Stringy Jack. Hmm. You guys know about Stringy Jack?
Stringy Jack.
Stinging Jack. I'm saying. See, don't even listen to me. Maybe I've been drinking. I don't know. But Stinging Jack. There we go. And he was a clever drunk and a con man.
Oh.
Look, it's been a long day. Okay. Long, long day.
Sorry.
All I can say. Everybody's probably like, what in the
world? We all had them.
Woman's crazy. I'll just put it out there right now. Crazy.
Don't forget about soul cakes.
Yes.
I was just reading about that.
Yes.
Yeah, tell me about the soul cakes.
Tell me about the soul cakes. I want to know about soul cakes.
Rich, you want to hear me? I don't care.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You said you're just reading on it, so.
The American Halloween tradition of trick-or-treating probably dates back to the early All Souls Day parade in England. Mm-hmm. During the festivities, poor citizens would beg for food and families would give them pastries called soul cakes in return for their promise to pray for the family's dead relatives. The distribution of soul cakes was encouraged by the church as a way to replace the ancient practice of leaving food and wine for roaming spirits. The practice, which was referred to as going a souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G, was eventually taken up by children who would visit the houses in the neighborhood and be given ale, food, and money. The tradition of dressing in Halloween costume for Halloween has both Europe and Celtic roots. Hundreds of years, winter was an uncertain and frightening time. Food supplies often ran low, and for many people afraid of the dark, the short days of winter were of constant full of worry.
So you get a little treat and then you get money to see, too.
Yeah, we're starting to see that with the turnip lanterns. You're starting to see the jack-o'-lantern thing, and with the soul cakes, and you're going souling, as Brian said. That sounds pretty close to a trick-or-treating type activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, Mr. Stinging, not Stringy, Stinging Jack, he's with the jack-o'-lanterns. And so his story is he was a clever drunk con man who fooled the devil into banning him from hell. But because he was he had a sinful life, he could not enter heaven. So after his death, he roamed the world carrying a small lantern made of a turnip with a red hot ember from hell inside the to light his way. And then they would say that on All Hallows Eve, the Irish hollowed out turnips and carved them with the faces to make them look like the little shrunken heads.
Mm-hmm.
Place a candle inside so that they were souling. This is where you're talking about that souling on the night when the veil between the living and the dead were the thinnest, and that they would be protected from the spirit like Stinging Jack. So jack-o'-lanterns are supposed to be there to protect you. Kind of like Trick or Treat, the movie.
Because they always that's talk freaky.
About he'll stay away. You gotta keep the last pumpkin lit to keep him away.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I never thought of that he's kind of like he's the stinging Jack.
Kind of. I've only seen it once.
Well, I've seen it a couple of times, and it's now starting to dawn on me when they're talking about it. At first, when I first saw it, I'm like, well, what's the big deal? You blow out the candle and you go to bed. But then as he goes through, they blow out the candle, and then all of a sudden he comes and he attacks you and does terrible things to you. And you usually don't live through the night.
Are you supposed to leave it lit till dawn?
I guess.
Huh, all right.
Because they never really go through to the next day type thing. But there is one, I don't want to give if you haven't seen the movie, I don't want to give it away. But there's this one girl that she decorates a whole bunch of pumpkins. And she's known to decorate all these pumpkins and carve them all out and everything. And she plays a pivotal role in the movie. But it's basically to keep Sam is the bad guy, and he has the pumpkin head, and well, kind of like a pumpkin head, I guess you could say, but then
it's a sack,
it's round with a sack on it, and then but it's shaped like a it's round like a pumpkin, you know, but then that's covering his actual face. And then underneath there is a more sinister looking face.
Hmm.
And then he carries a lollipop around with him that he bites off.
I think I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah. Actually, you've been to my house, so you've seen him sitting in one of my chairs.
Yeah.
There you go. I have Sam sitting.
Yes, yeah, Jeffrey has Sam. A prop of him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, same thing. He has a pumpkin on his lap. My little guy, my Sam, has a pumpkin on his lap, and then you turn it on in his emotion sensor, and he sings it sings a little song.
Have I told you I don't like dolls?
I know. Don't go in my front yard.
Yeah, I don't like dolls.
Because I got my girls out there.
They're creepy.
I have my Eyeless Alice, and I have my April Showers.
We're going to do an episode on Robert and Annabelle.
Oh, yes.
Not with me or not.
you don't want to?
I don't do dolls. Sorry.
that's okay.
They're just creepy.
Okay. Everybody has their little thing. You know, you guys tease me about dirt, and yours is dolls, so.
Yep, spiders. I don't like spiders.
I don't either.
No. Back it up just a little bit. In the 1900s time period, the Irish came over here, and we're talking about the jack-o'-lanterns and stuff like that. They figured out that pumpkins were easier to carve into than turnips.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed it into that. And that in the time period, they got... When the Irish came over here and all that, they got rid of that Guy Fawkes Day and all that stuff. But there was a village in Hiawatha, Kansas, the morning after Halloween in 1912, a woman named Elizabeth, what'd you say, Krabs? Krabs?
Yep, Mr. Krabs.
Krabs. Retired Krabs. Of having her garden and the entire town vandalized once a year. By the children wearing masks and initially using her own resources, organized a party in 1913 that the young people were she was hoping they would tire them out and they would have like this big party and stuff like that. So it wasn't until 1914 she involved the entire town, her band, held a costume contest, put on a parade. And her plan worked. No more vandalism. Little kids were happy. They got the candy. They got their costumes. They're all happy, happy. And so then it traveled around the United States. And it went outside of Kansas. Who wouldn't have thought, you know, Kansas would be the place that would get it, you know?
So you're telling me Hiawatha, Kansas is the place where the traditions we think of today, it all started there in 1912 or 1913 or whatever.
That is what I am telling you.
Hmm.
Yeah, Kansas. Here you just
who thought, knew?
Right? You just think that it was Superman that was born and raised in Kansas. Well, not born, but, you know, raised in Kansas.
In the Winchesters.
In the Winchesters. Everything that apparently is in Kansas.
Yep.
It's not here in Wisconsin. But yes, little Hiawatha, Kansas is where the home of Halloween started in the United States.
I wonder if they have a sign there when you drive in and it says, "Welcome to Hiawatha, Kansas, the birthplace of Halloween."
Good question.
That was Haddonfield, Illinois.
Please see Mr. Krabs at the corner.
Yes. That would be awesome. Let's see. I'm looking up right now to see if they have a thing for Halloween.
I'd be curious if you Google Hiawatha, Kansas, if it says anything. You would think that'd be a big moment in their town's history.
Well, they still do it all today. No, you know what it says? Welcome to Hiawatha, city of beautiful maples. Let's see. Oh, underneath there's a sign. Oldest Halloween parade in the nation.
I just saw that.
Good.
Yeah. They don't want to start with that.
Well, yeah, I don't want Miss Krebs to get the shaft there. So.
Right. So yeah. that is where the parade, Halloween parade started. Halloween itself, you know, the traditions of not destroying the neighborhood began.
Right.
So good job, Mrs. Krabs.
All right.
She's the mother of modern Halloween. Does all the kids know that? Probably not. They just think that, you know, the Sanderson sisters.
Mm.
So here's the other thing, though. There was like a shortage. So there was a shortage of sugar and stuff like that. So in the 1920s, it was also known as the Mischievous Night, not only here in the United States, but Canada as well. The practice of destroying people's property on the night of the 31st morphed into going door to door asking for candy in return for leaving a home in one piece.
Frickin' Canadians.
Yeah, well, that was for us too. But it also established by Canada in 1927 when a newspaper article from Blackie, Alberta, Canada featured a story about children going door to door in this way. And this is the first known appearance in print with the phrase trick or treat.
Treat. Yep.
Yeah. And the children were given candy and the homeowners were left in peace. I'd be so mad if some kid came through and started destroying my house because I didn't give him candy. Maybe that's why I give them like the big candy bars.
Big candy bar.
I'm one of those people.
Even when I was a kid in Illinois, the egg in the house was huge on Halloween.
Was night. It?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
See, I don't remember that as a kid. You know, I just remember us all going around the neighborhood and going up to the door and saying trick or treat and getting our candy. Or, you know, that one weird guy that would give you a toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a dentist.
Yes.
But, you know, you get happy if you got a penny or something like that.
Yes.
The big thing that we had was check your candy and make sure there wasn't any razor blades.
Razor blades, yeah.
Yeah, especially like the candy bars and the apples. But
Susan.
Back in the 30s, during World War II time, there was a sugar ration, which was dramatically cutting the candy supply. And that then reemerged in the late 1940s because they're done with World War II. But the family would continue in the 50s and it became more popular with candies and stuff like that. And then Halloween is not generally associated with any particular religion or tradition and is commonly viewed as a secular community holiday, primarily focused on the youth and a boon for the businesses offering candy, decorations, as well as the entertainment industry, where it releases the films, TV specials, books, and paranormal themes. Mm-hmm. Kind of goes with Hocus Pocus, the first one, where he sits there and says, well, it's all a conspiracy, and everybody knows it's about the candy industries, that they're the ones that really created Halloween.
Yeah.
It wasn't that far off. Mm-hmm. I mean, really.
You'd say that about a lot of things, though.
That is true.
So,
but for many of the neo-pagan and Wiccans in the modern day, however, the holiday continues to be observed and as closely as possible to Samhain.
Hmm.
So even today, modern day, they still believe in the traditions of Samhain, where they're, you know, not that they're doing everything that they did back then, but the year will turn the light days to dark, as we can see nowadays. Right now, it's getting darker earlier, sadly.
And change clock Saturday.
No, not this Saturday.
That was this Saturday.
No, no, November 6th. Don't change your clock. November 6th.
See. Delete.
That's okay. I thought about it too. I'm like, ooh, that's coming around the corner really quickly.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
You want a cracker?
He's eating a cracker. We keep trying to shut him up.
Give him some bubble gum. Then he won't be able to talk.
That'll kill him.
Oh, yeah. Don't give him that then.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Mm. That's Stanley the parrot.
Stanley.
Stanley.
Uh-huh.
So they still, you know, it's still about the dead crossing over the land of the living, moving on with the other people. But, you know, we wear the costumes because we're supposed to disguise ourselves so that the dead doesn't realize that we're living. They think we're dead as well. And so they kind of bypass us, and it's supposed to protect us and stuff. But they use entities that will appear as people. Animals were slaughtered at the time and turned into food, while grains, fruits, vegetables, and similar transformations for winter storage and wood and bone went up in flames and the bonfires as smoke. So this is like the central theme of Halloween itself. But it's also where the costumes come into play. And like I said, that we wear the masks and the costumes to transform the wearer, their everyday life into another persona is one thing. So for those that want to be Darth Vader, they can be Darth Vader. If they want to be, you know, a werewolf, they can be a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they transform themselves. And did you know that in 2021, the most popular costume was a witch? I would not have picked a witch as being the most popular costume.
Hmm.
I would have thought it would have been something completely different. Hmm. Something like a modern day thing, like whatever the theme was last year, that was popular. I would think this year would be a lot of Hocus Pocus.
Witch.
And the witch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what the top three dog costumes are?
No, what are they?
Pumpkin, hot dog, and bumblebee.
Really? See, I was gonna say like maybe a bat, and then
or a spider.
Yeah, or a spider.
You see the ones where they put the legs on them and it looks like they got eight legs when they're running.
Yes,
with
yes.
Little dogs, yeah.
I couldn't do that with my dogs because I think my dog Bella would eat my other dog. We're still debating if we're going to get costumes for our two dogs. If anybody goes on our website or like our Facebook page, I'm sure you've seen pictures of my dogs on there. Because they're both black, they'd be perfect bats or spiders. But Bella has this thing about eating her sister. So I don't know if I really want to do that. But we'll see. We still have time.
Hmm.
But that's the thing. People go out and they like buy costumes for everything. Themselves, their children, the babies, the dogs. You know, I went to the pet store and I actually saw a costume for a hamster. I thought it was a cat, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like,
a
it's not a
hamster.
cat, a hamster, a hamster. It was cute. It
How do
had
you
like,
even get that on?
I don't know. It had a little
You
beard
know?
and a little hat, but it was so cute. And I'm like, huh, that was a really tiny cat. And then I'm like, nope, that's a hamster. But you know, they do that with the, you know, even their lizards. You know, what is it? What's the one that Amy and Rob have? The can't think of the name of that. It's the dragon. I can't think of the name of that thing. And people
What
are sitting
dragon?
there. They're one little lizard that they have. Bearded dragon.
Bearded
There we
dragon?
go.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, there we go. People are like, thank God she finally got it, because they're probably screaming at their
I'm
radios
like,
right
Figment.
now.
You know, I didn't.
No, not Disney. No, not Disney. But yeah, they dress up everything and anything nowadays.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's turned into a huge thing, which is great. I mean, it gets everybody out there. And here's a little thing I'd like to put out there for people that talk about Halloween and trick-or-treating. If you have a teenager that is not wearing a costume, please give them some candy. These poor kids are going out there and they're trick-or-treating, and they're not causing problems. They're not on the streets doing bad things. They go house to house to get some candy. Yes, they did not put a costume on, but I'd rather give those kids candy than have them on the streets and doing bad things.
Yeah.
That's my little spiel for this. And they are still trying to, you know, connect with their childhood. I mean, my younger ones are 17, 16, and 14, and they go Halloween trick or treat, and they just went and got their costumes. So, you know, they're all about it. In fact, my daughter's going to be one of the killer clowns, Shorty. And Patrick, he wants to be Teletubby. Teletubbies have not been a thing since my oldest son, who is now going to be 25 in January,
Say about
since he was a baby.
1992.
Yeah. And all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I want to be a Teletubby. I'm like, you're 16 and you want to be a Teletubby. All
Interesting.
right, we'll do that.
Throwbacks.
Yeah, right.
He's
You
gonna do a
know?
little, he'll do a little twist to it to make it a little evil, but you
Yeah.
know, but good for them. They want to still be a part of it and still have fun and stuff like that. And they want to stick with their childhood. Great. So, you know, have at it. Kids that come to your house, no matter what age, no matter what costume or non-costume, give them some candy. Be a nice person.
Bah
Yeah.
humbug. Yes.
No, stop it.
Sorry,
Where
wrong
did I
holiday.
read? I was reading somewhere like one, is it one fourth of all candy bought in America is for Halloween?
I believe that.
Yeah.
Unless you buy for the summer's parade.
Yeah. That's funny. I thought the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So we do a parade in 4th of July, and we went through the most candy we've ever gone through. And we've been doing this for what, probably about 10 years now, close to 10 years. What did we figure out? We went through 60
I
pounds,
think it was, yeah.
something like that. Yeah. 60 pounds of candy. That's a heck of a lot of candy for a parade. That's 1.5 miles long. Okay. But we love it. We do it every year. We'll continue doing it as long as we possibly can. And same with Halloween. We'll give out as much candy as we possibly can for these kids and adults. I give out candy to the adults too. So, you know, the other thing is, did you know that there's a story that everybody knows pretty much? The story of Sleepy Hollow. It was a short story written by Washington Irving, and the legend of Sleepy Hollow was published in the 1820s and was one of the first works of fiction centered strictly around Halloween. I didn't realize that. I was like, that's kind of interesting.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
It is a favorite, though. I do like that story.
Right. And you know, they've made it into a motion picture. Johnny Depp is in it and stuff
That's
like
my
that.
favorite one.
Yeah, see, and I even like the cartoon that they do. Disney
Yeah.
did the cartoon back in the day, and you know,
True.
it's
True.
very short, But then they made it into a motion picture. But it started off as a short story, and it was originally around Halloween, based right. on Halloween.
And you see bits and pieces of that mixed in with a lot of other things, like you do the haunted hay rides and stuff, and you usually got like the headless horseman coming after you. Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Yeah, and they even have like lawn decorations that is now sure. the headless horseman. They have the show Sleepy Hollow. I don't know if you guys remember that show.
Oh yeah, I did watch that one. Yeah, yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah, actually, I'm rewatching it because it's still interesting, and it goes. It
didn't
through,
last long.
It didn't, which is really sad. But it was.
I thought
really
it was good though.
Yeah, it goes good through about the headless horseman and him being one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and they kind of go through that whole thing. But it originated from, you know, Irving's story.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing some other research around the world. Like, okay, Halloween started with the Celtics, stuff like that. So what do the other parts of the world do for Halloween, if they even do anything at all? And so before we started, and you guys will hear it, because I'll add it on there. It was a little conversation we had before we even went on air. But it was about the Philippines. And one of my coworkers, she's from the Philippines. And they go and they do trick-or-treating just like we do. They celebrate Halloween. But they also celebrate All Souls Day, which is November 1st. And what they do is the kids will go trick-or-treating and stuff like that. And they go door-to-door and sing songs in exchange for sweets. So I asked her, I'm like, okay, this is what I was reading. Is this true? Or, you know, because you can't believe everything you see on the internet, right? So she told me that they probably do that now because the Philippines have turned into a more modernized Western world civilization. But she said when she was a kid, and she's an older woman. She said that when she was a kid, her and her siblings would go and get dressed up in their nicest clothes, kind of like Sunday dress. And they would go to the cemeteries. They would light candles. And they would also have music playing and bring some treats and stuff like that. And it was kind of funny. She goes, you know, it's kind of, now that I'm thinking about it, she goes, it's kind of like the Disney movie Coco. That's what we did, except we didn't cross over into the spirit world. So she said it's almost the same as like in Mexico, they have the Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
She said they celebrate what you see as Day of the Dead is also what she used to celebrate in the Philippines back in the day. She said that they haven't really changed. They've changed a little bit. I'm sure they still do that, but not as much and is not as popular as it is, you know, as it was back then. But she said now they do the trick-or-treating and they do, you know, go door-to-door and sing the songs and stuff like that. But she was kind of interested to see what happens in the Philippines nowadays versus when she was a kid. But also, I was also reading about, you know, because like we talked about Day of the Dead, where they go and they make like little sugar skulls. And they'll leave that and things like tequila for the dead. Yeah.
All right.
They have a party at their grave sites. So they will dress up as their ancestors, not themselves. They would dress up at like their ancestors, and then they would build these private altars, and then they would leave these gifts. And then, you know, they would bring they would hope that the dead would come back and come visit with them and celebrate with them. But yeah, they partied a little bit with the tequila. But then there's also, like, I thought it was kind of interesting. There's different times of the year that people do things in different countries and stuff like that. But the one I felt was kind of interesting was Cambodia. They have a 15-day festival, a religious festival, that starts in the mid to late September and goes to the first Sunday in October. And they celebrate by lighting candles for their ancestors to, and then they would have family feasts, and they would participate in buffalo races.
Mm.
But on the last day, the monks would go and chant through the night to signal the opening of the gates of hell. Not of heaven, but of hell. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And then in Australia, now I put this with like it in my head, but just change the color of the balloon. So in Australia, what they do versus what we do. So when the kids are going trick-or-treating in the United States, you turn a light on showing that you're gonna hand out candy and open. Stuff like that. Right. Yep. You're open for business. Mm-hmm. Come to our house, grab some candy. In Australia, they hang an orange balloon outside as their signal that they're participating in trick-or-treating. Huh. I want to know who is the person that puts that one red balloon up.
And gets nobody.
You don't think so? There'd be some sick person that would be like,
hey, yeah, true.
I probably would be that person. I did that for one of my kids, Patrick's birthday one year. He was all about it. And so we tied a red balloon to our mailbox. So when he got home, he saw that red balloon. And then we had some presents on the kitchen table and tied that with a red balloon. And we just kind of disappeared. And he just came in and kind of looking around like, what the? And then he noticed that it was like it. It was like the it theme. And then, of course, his cake had it on it as well. Pennywise, as people mm-hmm. would know him. So then in Poland, they celebrate on November 1st, All Souls Day. The families place wreaths, lanterns, and small gifts on the graves of their relatives. Which is kind of what they, you know, I was saying in the Philippines, what they do. Except they don't do the lanterns, they do the candles. And then Japan, theirs is a Buddhist festival that lasts about 3 days. The start date varies from mid-July to mid-August. This is what I'm saying. It kind of goes in different time periods for certain countries in the calendar. And they're honoring the spirits of their ancestors by making trips to the graves and then the ancestral historical places of their ancestors. And they will have ceremonial dances as part of the festivities. So, I mean, things are a little bit different in different areas. There's another one in Nepal where between August and September, or Nepal, I keep saying Nepal is Nepal. They will remember their loved ones who had died that year. Mm. And the families who lost a loved one must participate in the procession, through the Kathmandu, parade, the procession itself, leading a cow. So the people are leading a cow through the streets. And if there's not a cow available, then they have a young boy dressed like a cow. And the cow is supposed to help the deceased cross over to heaven. It's supposed to help with their journey to heaven.
Hmm.
So, I mean, there's different things of how people celebrate different ways throughout the world.
It seems like we're the most tame in the States.
Yeah,
kind of
sounds like that. Northern Ireland. So we go back to where the Celts started all this and everything. Northern Ireland, though, they on the banks of the Foyle, there's a place called Londonderry is home to Europe's largest Halloween carnival. And they have everything from grand parades to interactive haunted houses. I'd like to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what their carnival and haunted house is supposed to be like. Cool. But it's interesting to see how different things have changed, even in our own history, of how things change from the turnip to a pumpkin.
To a pumpkin, yeah.
Yeah. And then from vandalism to parade.
Right.
And then it all starts really basically from the end of summer, beginning of winter, into what we see today of the ghouls and the goblins and the vampires and the werewolves and, you know,
you name it.
You name it. You go to a store now and you can get everything and anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the president of the United States. You can be, you know, a nun. You could be, you know, anybody with not even a mask. No, you know, just wear a bodysuit with no face.
Yeah.
I mean, they have everything. You can wear a wig, change your hair color, you know, be a cowboy, be Cleopatra, anything. So, and that's the beginning of our season, which is an awesome season. People are more likely to, you know, open up to the unknown, the dead and the paranormal, which is a fascinating field. If you're listening to us, you obviously are fascinated with the paranormal, and Halloween just amplifies that for us.
Tenfold. Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be a great season. It's going to be a lot of fun. Every year seems to be better and better for people for Halloween time, it seems like. Yeah, some people's pocketbooks get a little bit thinner because they keep buying more decorations.
Yeah.
And more costumes. People are even decorating their office spaces now, too. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, that's, you see more and more of that. Getting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know we had somebody on our team that, you know, she used to decorate her office space, and she went way like out there to decorate where it looked like a building, or, you know, inside of an actual room, and it was just a cubicle, you know?
Yeah.
And she went way above and beyond, and it was awesome. I was always so jealous of what she could do with that. And then we have other people that are on our team that build their own decorations and props for their yards and stuff like that. So it's a fun time. People are open to being kids again, which is awesome. And Halloween doesn't have an age limit. It's like an endless age limit. Even just the dead
popular for adults.
Yep. Kids, adults, the dead, they're all invited to the party.
Yes.
The more the merrier.
That's right.
Heck, even the demons are supposed to be involved in this, you know, and they're invited. Not they're supposed to be invited, but, you know, people are dressed up like little demons and stuff. So.
Yep. Yeah. So angels and demons. So we're all started.
That's right. Do you guys have anything special you guys do for Halloween?
Not really.
No, us either. Our son does. He decorates. He's been doing it for years. He's doing it right now. He makes a haunted house in our garage.
Nice.
So we're booted out of, my wife and I are booted out of the garage for a month. And he's in the neighborhood kids. That's all. Every kid comes here. He has black lights and spotlights and everything else. And he gets all of his, and he changes it every year. And this year he's doing clowns.
Oh, nice.
So he's doing clowns, and he gets all of his, not all of them, but whatever theme he's doing from his spirit of Halloween props. Mm-hmm. He's doing, but he's painting. He goes to town in there, and that's pretty much really it.
Yeah. See, our family, we do a lot of decorating. We're known as the haunted house in the neighborhood. Well, haunted cemetery. We actually named our cemetery. It's Anchor Cemetery. And it's supposed to be built in 1841. and we've kind of aged it and everything. But then we also, my two younger sons are in Boy Scouts. So what they do with their troop is they do a haunted hayride that they participate in. So there's a camp near us called Camp Odakota, and they will, they're actually doing it in 3 weeks where they do a haunted hayride, and their troop has the fort that is on the property, and they make it into a haunted fort.
Oh, cool.
So every year we go out there and we do the haunted hayride. It's awesome. All the Boy Scout troops come out there and they all have their own little themes and you ride it. So, well, after COVID hit, we walked the trails, but normally it was you ride it on a hay bale on the tractors and stuff like that. So we would do that. And then the other thing we do is we go to one of the local farms and we walk the maze, the corn maze. So that's what our family does for Halloween. And then of course, whatever we do with the team around Halloween.
Right.
This year for the team, the weekend of Halloween, we're doing a ghost walk. So that's going to be fun. We're doing two nights of a ghost walk in downtown Racine. We're going to be doing that with the Racine Library. So that's going to be good. That's going to be fun. We did that with them in the summertime, their spooky summertime. And now we're continuing in October. So that's what we're going to be up to. And then we also do our local Paracon in Milwaukee.
That's so coming up.
That's coming up. We're going to get ready for that. So, I mean, we have things that we do all the time in Halloween time. For our listeners, if there's something that you do, we'd love to hear about it. We want to know what you guys do for Halloween. Send us pictures. Tell us your stories. If you want to send us what you're going to be for Halloween, your costumes, your dogs, your cats, your lizards, whatever, your hamsters, send us pictures. We want to see them. Share with us. And yeah, that's about all we have for this episode. So I'd like to thank you for listening. Until next time, for our believers, keep believing. And for our skeptics, continue to keep us grounded. I'm Kathy. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Here's a few little outtakes that we had during this episode. Hope you enjoy it. Anyways.
Where'd you look for your information on this?
I kind of looked all over the place online. Googled like history of Halloween and stuff like that. And then I found one that did like different countries.
Oh, cool. All right.
And actually, I talked to one of my nurses today to verify one of them because she's Filipino. And I'm like, hey, I saw this thing and I wanted to get your take on it. Is this accurate or, you know, is this not accurate? And what she told me was what they do now is more Americanized versus what she did when she was younger. And she's 62. So she told me what she and her family did back in the day. So it was kind of interesting hearing that, but
I went on the History Channel and found some really interesting stuff. You can see, you can't even see it.
Yeah.
On the History Channel, found a bunch of stuff on this.
I just Google it and whatever comes up, I kind of read little bits and pieces and I kind of just use kind of what I think I know and I'll learn as we go.
Right.
I'm not a big research guy. I'm more read it and go off of it. And hopefully it's something I know something about. If not, I guess I'm going to learn it. So.
Well, I think this topic too is you can go many different directions because all the different religions involved.
Right. Is this being recorded right now?
It is being recorded.
Good, because this should be part of our freaking podcast conversation because this kind of is how it should go. So
right. this is being recorded. So did you get my text message?
Me?
Yeah.
No, let me look.
I sent it to the team. You have to look at the picture.
Oh! Yuck!
It's like, no! It's like hovering over me right now. Got my eye on you.
Yuck!
It's like, we're just talking about. I was just telling him, have you checked your messages?
What messages?
I just sent out a text message. You have to look at the picture.
No, I have a new phone and my phone sucks.
Well,
it better not be a doll.
No, it's not a doll. Okay. But the thing is in my office right now. So it was a picture of the spider that literally just came down on my screen. I was like, are you kidding me?
Hey.
Yucky.
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's what I get. Oh my gosh. Anyway. All right.
So where were we?
So where were we? All right.
We're to, let's see, we're to Elizabeth Krebs. Elizabeth Krebs.
Yeah. Oh, but I'm going to call.
But I'm going to call her Mr. Krabs.
Mr. Krabs.
Mr. Krabs. You know, I, okay. That's my SpongeBob. That's my SpongeBob reference.
Yeah, that's SpongeBob.
SpongeBob SquarePants. All right. So we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Please email us with your thoughts on this and any of our previous episodes. And if you have a topic you'd like us to talk about, email us at soupit@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to another episode of Wicked Darkness.